Good morning.
Good morning.
Welcome and grace and peace to you in the name of Jesus. What a glorious morning it is to gather here, to worship together, to be together as the body of Christ. Before we begin our worship, just draw your attention to a few announcements. There are many, many announcements in the bulletin, but I just want to highlight a couple of them, most especially the three upcoming events. Our caring for the caregiver event at the beginning of October, and we're beginning today in Grace Connection to talk about that subject, and so all are welcome, all of us at one point or another in our lives either are or will be a caregiver to someone, and we hope that we can together have some good conversation about what that means for us. So you're welcome today after church and then to the event in October. We also have coming up our missions dinner and our trunk or treat. Is there anyone that wants to speak to either of those two events? I think most of the details you need are in here, and there are sign-up sheets for both of them out in the narthex. So take note of those, sign up to get ready for decorating your trunk, and also for the many ways that you can help out with the mission fundraiser dinner. Any other announcements? Then let us turn our hearts to worship as we listen to the prelude.
Thank you.
Let's rise for the call to worship.
Diversity of talents is represented here today.
God has called us to this place to share our gifts and talents.
I'm going to work so God can use me anywhere, Lord, anytime. I'm going to work so God can use me anywhere, Lord, my Lord, anytime.
There are so many ways that we can serve the Lord.
We pray that God will enable us to use our talents to help others.
I'm going to pray so God can use me anywhere, Lord, anytime, anytime. I'm going to pray so God can use me.
Our lives should be prayers of thanksgiving to God.
Let our hearts be open and our voices rise in song to God, who continually blesses our lives.
I'm going to sing so God can use me anywhere, Lord, anytime, anytime. I'm going to sing so God can use me.
Holy is the Lord God Almighty.
Lord, prepare me to be a sanctuary, pure and holy, tried and true. With thanksgiving, I'll be a living sanctuary for you. Lord, prepare me to be a sanctuary.
You may be seated. I invite you to join me in the litany of confession. God, you have given each of us many gifts, but sometimes we cannot recognize what gift we have to share, so we hide it under a bushel. God, you remind us that all gifts are needed, but sometimes we let ourselves be convinced that some gifts are more special than others. God, you call us to work, to live, to love together as parts of one body. But sometimes we decide that membership in the body is limited by our understanding. God, for the times we have ignored or mislabeled your gifts, for those times we have cut another off from the body, we offer words of repentance. We ask for forgiveness and grace. God is the giver of many gifts. God is the creator of the one body. God is slow to anger and quick to forgive. God helps us to share and to honor the gifts of all. God helps us to heal the wounds and reunite the body. We are forgiven, loved, and accepted. Thanks be to God. Alleluia. Amen. As forgiven and loved children of God, let us rise and share the peace of Christ. You're settling in. No, it's a good thing you're taking pictures because Mr. Gelman's not here. So we need someone to take pictures today, right? What's that? Oh. All right. Let me squeeze in here. All right. Good morning. Everyone, watch your fingers and toes. It's a little heavy. I don't want to. How is everyone this morning? What have we got there, Avery? We've got a toolbox here. Does that look like Daddy or Pop-Up have a toolbox like that? So what's that, Avery, that you're holding? It's a big hammer. That's right. Maybe Daddy can help you hold the hammer. It is a big hammer, right? That's a screwdriver. That's all right. We gotta see what else is in here. What else do you recognize? Anybody?
Yes.
Do you help use tools at home? Do you know what that is? What is it?
It's good.
Is it like clipping? We can use it for clipping or for grabbing something?
Nails.
Well, I don't think I'd clip my nails with that one, but it's a wrench, right? So we can use that to grip stuff. Let's see what else Mr. Sinclair has in his to help hang pictures. We have a level, right? What else do you recognize? Oh, yeah, look at this. What have we got? I think those are other drill bits. Maybe we don't need to open that. We've got a couple of drill bits here. So all of these tools have different purpose, right? Yeah. So I've got like a ruler in here. Let's see. So what do we use the ruler for? To measure something, right? That's right. And what do we use the screwdriver that Avery has? What do we use that for? To tighten something, right? Can we use the ruler to tighten something? Probably not, right? Who has the hammer? Oh. Kevin has the hammer. Thank you, Kevin. Kevin, what do you use the hammer for?
For hitting a nail.
For hitting a nail. Can you use the ruler for hitting a nail? Could you use the level for hitting a nail? That's a square to make sure that things are straight, right? So each of these things has a special purpose, right? And even, what did you find, Grace, in your dad's toolbox? A pretzel container cover. Now, for some reason, this had a particular purpose for a project to be put in the box. So sometimes
things don't get away when you're doing something.
From the screws don't get away when you're doing a project. All right. See? But so even this that looks like it might be for pretzels surprises us because it has another good use to keep our screws together. So all of these things that can strip wire. All of these things have all sorts of uses, each one a different ability, a different gift, we could call it when we talk about things in the church. Now, each of you have different gifts too. What are some things that you can do well? Dancing? Singing?
Singing?
Yeah. All right. What else? Gymnastics, drums, art, sports, swimming. And if we asked everyone, which we're going to do a little of that later when you go to Sunday school, look, we got a light there too. We would find all sorts of different gifts. Just like this toolbox, everyone has a gift, everyone has a purpose, everyone has a use. And while we could build something with all of these tools, what God asks us to do with our gifts and our talents is to build up the church and the rest of the world, to do things to share the love of God, both here in church with each other and out into the world. So every once in a while, we get a little sad and we think, I can't do anything. You ever feel that way? I can't do gymnastics like I wish I could. I can't swim like I wish I could. But I want you to remember that if God has given you a gift, then God will help you to strengthen that and to grow that and use that to share God's love. So let's put all of the tools back in the toolbox. Awesome that we found a beeping one with lights. Thank you.
That's good.
So as we put all the tools back and we think about all the different things we do, let's say a prayer to thank God for all of the different things that God helps us to do. Would you like to hold it? Why don't you give Daddy the hammer and hold his hand to say a prayer? All right. Let us pray. Dear God, thank you for all the tools that you give to us to share your love and to do your work in the church and in the world. Let us pray as Jesus taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. All right, have a great time at Sunday school.
Good morning. Today's epistle reading is taken from the book of Romans, chapter 12, verses 1 through 8. And it can be found on page 151 in the New Testament of your pew Bibles. Woody Allen's quote, 80% of success is showing up, indicates the importance of presence in life. Well, many years before Woody, Paul got it right when he wrote and reminded many believers, like ourselves, of the importance of showing up for God, as follows. The new life in Christ. I appeal to you, therefore, brothers and sisters, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your minds, so that you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. For by the grace given to me, I say to everyone among you not to think of yourself more highly than you ought to think, but to think with sober judgment, each according to the measure of faith that God has assigned. For as in one body, we have many members, and not all the members have the same function. So we, who are many, are one body in Christ, and individually we are members one of another. We have gifts that differ according to the grace to us, to the grace given to us. Prophecy in proportion to faith, ministry in ministering, the teacher in teaching, the exhorter in exhortation, the giver in generosity, the leader in diligence, the compassionate in cheerfulness. In thy name we forever pray. Amen.
In our second epistle reading, we hear Paul writes again, to another community of faith with a very similar message about our spiritual gifts and bringing them together in the body of Christ. This reading is from 1 Corinthians 12, chapter 12, beginning with the 12th verse. For just as the body is one and has many members, and all the members of the body, though many, are one body, so it is with Christ. For in the one Spirit we were all baptized into one body, Jews or Greeks, slaves or free, and we were all made to drink of one spirit. Indeed, the body does not consist of one member, but of many. If the foot would say, because I am not a hand, I do not belong in the body, that would not make it any less a part of the body. And if the ear would say, because I am not an eye, I do not belong to the body, that would not make it any less a part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would the sense of hearing be? If the whole body were hearing, where would the sense of smell be? But as it is, God arranged the members in the body, each one of them, as God chose. If all were a single member, where would the body be? As it is, there are many members, yet one body. The eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of you, nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. On the contrary, the members of the body that seem to be the weaker are indispensable. And those members of the body that we think are less honorable, we clothe with greater honor. And our less respectable members are treated with greater respect, whereas our more respectable members do not need this. But God has so arranged the body, giving the greater glory to the inferior member, that there may be no dissension within the body, but the members may have the same care for one another. If one member suffers, all suffer together. If one member is honored, all rejoice together with it. Now you are the body of Christ, and individually members of it. And God has appointed in the church first apostles, second prophets, third teachers, and then deeds of power, then gifts of healing, forms of assistance, forms of leadership, various kinds of tongues. Are all apostles? Are all prophets? Are all teachers? Do all work miracles? Do all possess gifts of healing? Do all speak in tongues? Do all interpret? But strive for the greater gifts, and I will show you a still more excellent way. This is the word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
Now, before we continue, I want to make sure that everyone, as you entered this morning, received two sheets of paper along with your bulletin. You should have a white sheet with a chart on it and a pink sheet. Did you get those? The microphone's not.
It's good.
It's on. I think you're on now. Keep talking.
How's that?
That's better.
Is that better? So does everyone have those sheets, Ben? Did you get those sheets as well? There are some in the back. Can we grab, and does everyone have something to write with? A pen, a pencil, your kid's crayon that they left when they went? George has some pencils here too. Everyone set? Then let us pray. O Lord, as we give thanks today for the many gifts that you have given to us, the ways that you call us to be together as one body. May the words of my mouth and the thoughts and meditations of all of our hearts be pleasing and acceptable to you, for you are our rock and our redeemer. Amen. The two epistle readings that you heard just moments ago have one very clear connection. Each of us is a unique person. Each of us has unique gifts. We are created by God with particular personalities, with physical attributes, with talents, just like that, the tools in the toolbox. We have our likes and our dislikes, even down to the smallest thing. This past week, I gathered with my colleagues from the Connecticut District for our annual breakfast and meeting time together, and we were at the Derby United Methodist Church, which is currently, the congregation there is a Ghanaian congregation. It's a congregation that began in New York City from immigrants from Ghana, and they have grown into a couple of other congregations throughout the conference, and they are now in the Derby Church. So it's a wonderful and lively congregation, and the women of the church made us lunch the other day, which is always really the highlight of these meetings anyways. And they brought out these big and beautiful pots, these pots I can only assume are kept just for special church dinners. And they were filled with a whole variety of food, chicken and salads and rice and beans. There were three kinds of rice. So talk about diversity and variety. We had all the diversity of the clergy there. Then we had this diversity of all of the food before us. And so I tried, well, I had to try a little of everything, of course, in that. But I first tried one kind of rice, and my friend tried another kind of rice. And she said to me, oh, this one's spicy. Can you find another one that's not as spicy? And I looked at her plate, and I realized that she thought the spicy one was the one that I just thought was wonderful and mild and flavorful and delicious. And I said to her, you know, I don't think that you and I can compare spiciness of food. And it was just one of those little reminders of how different we can be, even down to our taste buds. Spiritual gifts are an important part of what make us unique. You heard in both Corinthians and in Romans, Paul drawing this image of the body of Christ, comprised of different members with different skills, all important and necessary to the working of the whole body. And that challenge to remember that each part is necessary. If the whole body were an eye, where would the hearing be? If the whole body were hearing, where would the sense of smell be? So just what are spiritual gifts? You heard them listed in both of those passages. Teaching and apostleship, speaking in tongues, interpretation of tongues, prophecy, helping. The lists vary a little bit in different places in the New Testament. And you see before you, on your pink sheet, a list of spiritual gifts that's sort of taken from all of the epistles, but also taken from our more modern context. If those of you who studied 1 Corinthians this past summer know the importance that Paul puts on prophecy and speaking in tongues, which may not be the two top ones on our list in the church. So you have this list that's taken from all of those places. But the question we keep asking ourselves, or need to keep asking ourselves, is why do we need these spiritual gifts? The use of spiritual gifts provides life and vitality to us as individuals and to the whole of the congregation. By using our spiritual gifts, we are contributing to the spiritual health of the church here and the church in the world. If one of us, any of us, neglects to use our spiritual gifts, then the whole community suffers because a piece is missing. And if someone is doing a ministry in an area that isn't quite their gift, we know how sometimes that goes and can cause some friction within the community of faith. For these few weeks, we're talking about what disciples do. And today we remember that disciples use and share their spiritual gifts as they grow and make new disciples. We need to know each other's gifts so that we can work together to build up the body of Christ. We need to know each other's gifts so that we can vision together about new ministries and new ways that we can connect with each other and connect within the community and the world, new ways that we can serve the community. We need to recognize the variety of gifts that we have so that we can enter into challenging conversations, so that we can truly listen to each other, recognizing that we are not all of the same, and listening and conversing with respect. There already are challenging conversations going on, and there will be more in the church in the weeks and months to come as we look at what the United Methodist Church will do and be in the future. And I think that by understanding our variety of spiritual gifts, we have a better sense of how we can listen to each other, how we can be prepared to face those challenges, how we can be open to the presence of God and to the Holy Spirit, so that we can be surprised by the ways that God is moving in and through us. Now, when we have spiritual gifts, we have to use them so that they can grow and mature. How many of you think that you have a gift for drawing? Anyone? Think you have a gift for drawing? Some little hesitant, well, maybe. When was the last time, those of you who didn't raise your hand, when was the last time you drew a picture?
A few days ago.
A few days ago, okay. Anyone else? When was the last, if you don't think you have drawing as a gift, when did you last try? 15 minutes ago, all right. Those of us who are parents, and they say, Mom, draw a horse. No, I don't know. Anyone else? Dennis is saying, I don't even know. Too long ago, right? Maybe someone in third grade said, draw a picture. Maybe your kid said, draw a picture of it. The point being that if you haven't practiced it, you don't even really know whether you have that gift or not. The same is true for our spiritual gifts. So this morning, we are going to take a couple of moments to inventory our spiritual gifts, to think about what they are, and next week we'll talk a little bit more about how we use them. This is something that Dennis and I have been talking about for months, about how we get a group together, whether we do this in Bible study or whether we do this in Grace Connection or small groups. And I said, let's just do it here all together. So on the white sheet of paper, you got your white sheet of paper and pencil. There are lots and lots of spiritual gift inventories out there. And if you are more interested in delving in even more to this, we can do that in some other ways. But for this morning, we're going to take a quick survey. You'll see that there are four categories: supporting gifts, leadership gifts, compassionate gifts, and spiritual life gifts. So in each of those four categories, there are several gifts, and I'll kind of read through those as well. And what I'd like you to do as you hear them is sort of off the top of your head, what are the two in each category that say, ah, that's me? So here we go. We'll start with supporting gifts, gifts that are used to support others in ministry. Giving. I love to generously give of my financial resources to support ministry that transforms lives. Administration. I enjoy overseeing the overall aspects of a project or a task. Helps. I receive satisfaction in assisting the work of others. Service. I find fulfillment in helping hurting people. And faith. I have an unshakable belief that God is in the midst of what is happening. So right off the top of your head, write down which two of those sound most like you. And if there's really only one that speaks to you, that's fine. If there's three that you just can't cut one off, that's all right too. Let's move on to leadership gifts, and I'll give you a moment to back up, too. Leadership are gifts that propel the vision and values of a ministry. Pastoring, I enjoy giving direction to the spiritual life of a group of people so they can grow in faith. You don't have to be a pastor to have the gift of pastoring. Teaching, I'm able to share the truths of the gospel so they're easily understood. Preaching, I share the gospel in a way that people grow into the vision and values of the congregation. Leading, I know how to motivate and bring people together to achieve common goals. An apostle, I find fulfillment in leading and overseeing a group of faith communities. Again, which two say, ah, that's me? Passionate gifts. Gifts that minister to the physical, emotional, and mental needs of people. Healing. I have the ability to bring together all that is needed to heal people. Mercy. I have great compassion for people who are hurting. Miracles. I recognize God's intervention in a situation. Discernment. I'm able to help people make a sense of difficult situations and give spiritual direction. Evangelism. I enjoy sharing the gospel in a way that naturally leads people to have faith in Jesus. And finally, spiritual life gifts, gifts that enhance the spiritual life of ministry. Wisdom. I have the ability to say the right thing at the right time to enable people to move forward in their lives. Knowledge. I have great insight that comes from a close relationship to God. Prophecy. I am able to share God's call for a specific people that connects with their context. Tongues. I easily speak in languages that are different from my native language and effectively connect with people of different cultures. And interpretation. I am able to help people express their deep feelings about their faith. As you look at your list, which one of those pops out the most to you? Which two or three? I invite you to write those down as your primary gift or your supporting gifts. I'm guessing that some of you picked something that you didn't really necessarily think was your gift. Maybe it's something that you do all the time, but you don't really think of it as a spiritual gift. What I'd like you to do with the papers is to put your name on the top. And as we sing many gifts, or as the offering is received, you can take the pink sheet and circle those so you remember what it is that you picked. But I'd like you to hand in the sheets as you leave this morning with your name on it. I'm going to take them and kind of tally them and look at them. And so in the next couple of weeks, we can have a sense of where we think we all are with these spiritual gifts. So leave the white sheet with your name on it, but keep the pink sheet to remind you of which gifts you feel you have. I hope that some of this is eye-opening and helpful. I hope it helps each of us to have a better sense of what God is asking us to do in our lives and in the church, to help us to see how the Spirit is moving, inspiring, and empowering us to use God's gifts to be together the body of Christ. And now it is our blessing and our challenge to open that gift and to use it. Amen.
I'm not done.
Given graciously and generously of what God has given us, and
it's already done.
And you're going to offer your gift to the offertory.
Oh, you know what? Special music.
Oh, all right. Whoever has the offertory.
Thank you.
Generous God of abundance, as we bring our offerings, probe us to look at all of our wealth, to look at all that we have, what we truly need, and all that others may need for the season to come. Bless our gifts for your kingdom's work on earth. Amen.
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 Maybe she didn't. Our prayer list is before you. I ask you to continue to pray for the family of Reverend John Blossom, for Linda, for Pam, for William, Joan, Shirley, Samantha, Aki, Paul, Joel, Jocelyn, Mary, all victims of natural disasters, of violence around the world, the church, this church, our denomination, and the Universal Church. Are there others who we wish to add to our prayers this morning? Aaron.
First of all, a colleague of mine, Margarita David, is going in for a voluntary double mastectomy to get ahead of cancer. She's leaving us on Friday and will be out for a while, so prayers there. I asked several of you via Facebook and stuff to think of my good friend Katrina Taves. Her daughter, Emerson, is in the NICU and doing better. They have moved the they've moved the IV from her umbilical cord to her arm. They're trying to wean her off the ventilator and are so prayers.
Prayers for Emerson and Katrina and for those NICU nurses. I think those are some of the most dedicated nurses there are for the way they love and care for those tiny ones. Jay.
Prayers for Eileen's family and the McCarthys. Eileen lost an aunt, a very close aunt, Florence McCarthy, last week. So prayers for the McCarthys and for the Hart family.
I just want prayers for the community of students at Staples High School who are affected by the recent departure of Ed Milton, the outreach coordinator for the town of Westport, who's based in Staples. He's a great source of support for students as well as parents. My family has been greatly assisted by his compassion and kindness and leadership. And for some unknown reason, he was taken off of the staff at Staples. And there are many children who seek his guidance, and he's not there. And they don't know why. And appointments that were supposed to be scheduled for regular counseling did not happen. And they have started a petition. One of the students, God bless her, started a petition to find out if they can get him back, because mental health issue in high school is... it's inconscionable to stop this because so many kids rely on it. There's so much violence and suicide and all kinds of things. And to get rid of their lifeline is just appalling. And I speak for many people, hopefully, who understand the importance of mental health among our young people. Thank you.
Prayers for all those students and staff. Ava, we get a microphone over to Ava. Well, yes, but Chris, why don't you go ahead while the microphone's coming to Ava, and Ava, then you're next.
So I ask actually for prayers for myself only because I'm leaving Wednesday on a trip that's going to be crazy. Tallinn, Estonia, Helsinki, Finland, and St. Petersburg, Russia in 3 days. I'm actually going to take an extra day in St. Petersburg, but prayers for safe travels and all of that stuff would be appreciated. And I also found out this morning of the passing of Christopher Rouse. Chris Rouse was one of this country's greatest contemporary composers. Not many people know his name these days, but for a while he was the composer in residence at the Cleveland Orchestra and has written things that have been premiered all over the world. And he was a colleague and a friend, or I should say a mentor and a friend while I was at Eastman. So hearing of his passing was sad. So prayers for his family.
Family and prayers for Chris.
Can you hear me? Mm-hmm. Sounds like maybe it's farther fetched, but it really isn't. I was at a lecture last night that was moderated by Nicholas Kristof, who writes about violence against women, and Dr. Mukwege from the Congo was there, who's received the Nobel Peace Prize. And I was horrified at what's going on in the Congo, primarily towards women. And the reason for the war there and the atrocities that are being committed is because Congo, which I did not know, is one of the countries in the world that is the richest in trace minerals, and we use them. So everybody has a cell phone. There is a little piece of... Do you know what metal it is? I can't remember. There are a number of trace minerals, and our phones don't work without them. But I am going to have a different relationship with my cell phone from now on. And so what I was thinking, you know, we can't toss our cell phones, but we can be more educated consumers. And so the atrocities that he was talking about are so shocking, and we are consuming those products and using, so we are actually contributing to a situation that it made me ill, like literally ill. So anyway, we just have to maybe ask, where was this fabricated? Where did it come from? That's not that difficult. And then make a choice.
Thank you for that reminder that all of our actions are part of a series of consequences, a series of effects that take around the world. So we pray for the women of the Congo and pray that all of us may make educated and knowledgeable decisions. Do we have another?
Continued prayers for my grandmother, Lorna LaRoche. I've talked about this before, but she's battling cancer in her bladder. She's approaching her 90s. She's doing great. She's still working as a crossing guard, just because she loves being out there with kids and helping. But she feels good, not in pain, but she is going through treatment. And so Lorna LaRoche, prayers for that would be much appreciated. Thank you.
Healing. Prayer of Thanksgiving and a reminder to all of you. Marilyn Smith in our office, her birthday is tomorrow, so if you have a moment to send her a message or pick up the phone, we'll give thanks for Marilyn. She would never put her birthday in our bulletin, but we give thanks for her and for all that she does, and I know she says sometimes she hasn't met many of you and can't put names and faces together, but she does appreciate you, and I pray that we may all continue to appreciate her and her good work.
Happy birthday to you this past week. Yes.
Thank you. That was not asking for that. And then Grace Heisey, too, had a birthday. And Tony is not, I know Tony, so there's a bunch of us. Any other birthdays right around these days? I know they're in the bulletin, too. So give thanks to the blessing of life. Let us pray. Creator God, you call us to love and serve you with body, mind, and spirit through loving your creation and our sisters and brothers. Open our hearts in compassion and receive our prayers as we pray for ourselves, for our family, our friends, for those who are near and far, for the needs of the church, and for the world. We pray that you would fill those in need with healing and hope, that you would care for them in body, mind, and spirit. Remind us that each of our actions makes a difference in this world, for good and for your glory, perhaps at times unknowingly at the expense of others. May we continue to live and do in faith in ways that are knowledgeable of what is going on in our world, in ways that are attentive to the needs of those both near and far. Oh God, you have equipped us and empowered us with gifts. May we be transformed by the movement of your Spirit. Open our hearts to receive the gifts with which you have blessed us. Inspire us to change ourselves and to change our world. Challenge us to know the places where there is a need for change. Strengthen us to deal with the pain and discomfort of it. Enliven us to feel the joy of it, to undertake the journey without understanding the destination, but knowing that you are the one who leads us. Holy One, hear our prayers and make us faithful stewards of all we have received, so that we may be entrusted with the riches of heaven. Amen.
Called to serve one another.
sisters and brothers, united in love, we are called to end injustice. We are called to love tenderly. We are called to serve one another.
And a diversity of gifts, and with those gifts, we are called to act with justice, we are called to love tenderly, we are called to walk humbly with God. So let us go forth acknowledging those gifts, using those gifts, so that we may grow together as the body of Christ. And now may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you this day and forever. Amen.
Amen.